Now to him who loves us and has freed us from our sin by his blood, to him be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. Thus far the text. This month we're talking about the Christian lifestyle. Yeah, there is such a thing as the Christian lifestyle that Christians desire to live, that Christians want to live in response to what God has given us and what God has done for us. It is something that envelops everything we do and say, and it envelops it every minute of our lives. Not just on Sunday mornings, and not just when we're doing religious things. Now, last week we talked about the chief thing in the Christian lifestyle, which is relationships. Of utmost importance is relationships. First and foremost, with God. The relationship we have with Him, which He started in our baptism, which He feeds so that we may grow in intimacy with Him. Not that He knows us better, but we come to know Him better, a more intimate relationship through the sacrament and through the study of His Word. The relationships we share with other believers, the fellowship of believers, the support and consolation that we give one another, celebrating with each other, crying with each other, supporting one another. The importance of relationships with family. Even a warning that if someone won't help his family, his blood relations, then he couldn't possibly be of the faith. And of course, relationships with those around us, especially those who do not believe. Christianity is personal. God touches you individually to make you alive, to give you eternal life. Individually, He creates that relationship with you called faith. And individually, He feeds you the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. But while Christianity is personal, it is never private. Either the privacy will destroy the Christian faith in us, or the Christian faith must destroy that privateness. God says, to worship me is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. But he goes on to say, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And he says neighbor there, not fellow believer, not just family, but neighbor, everyone. Even people we don't like, we are to love them, to look out for their welfare and their need. That is part of the Christian lifestyle, the importance of relationship. Today, we're going to look at a second aspect of the Christian lifestyle, and this aspect is called witnessing or sharing, or what sometimes is even seen as a bad word in the church these days, evangelism, which simply means telling someone good news. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This witnessing part of the Christian lifestyle is no more What do you call it when you can get something on a car when it doesn't come on it? You can order an option. Thank you. An option. It's no more optional than are the relationships that we talk about. No. It needs to be there. Christ just said, in Acts 1:8, it needs to be there. It has to be part of the Christian life. Now, when you come upon, let's say, a new diet, and through that new diet you lose, you know, 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 50 pounds, 100 pounds, a diet that seems to work, what do you do with that? What do you do with that news of that diet, that method? Or perhaps you've come across a new cleaner that can get spots out of any garment that you've stained, get out any stain, get it out of your carpet, get it, you know, off your tile floors, whatever. If you had found such a cleaner, what would you do? Think about it for a moment. Suppose you found the perfect automobile. The automobile to end all automobiles. What would you do? A new computer. The super one. The perfect one. The one that's not going to go out of date next week. What do we do with these things? We tell people about them. And we do so enthusiastically. We post it on Twitter. We put a thing up on our Facebook page. We call friends and neighbors. If we see somebody in the store who's walking past that product, we grab them. Come back here. You're missing this. Look at this. This is great. We want the whole world to know, the whole world to know about this new thing that we've discovered. Now, why do we do this? Why do we witness so much about it? Is it because somebody is going to pay you a commission to do it? Try that one at Walmart. Look, I just sold 15 of this product. It's great. It's a great product. Now, where's my commission? You're not getting it. No, we share it because we want to. We share it because we want others to share in the good thing that we have. They can go buy one themselves. God says in his Psalms, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." We used to sing that as part of the church service, something called the offertory. We have received from God a gift you don't earn, a gift you don't buy. A gift is something given to you by one who loves you. And it's not just a gift. It is the greatest gift. It is the greatest treasure. It is the greatest blessing that could ever be. Nothing better will ever come along than what God has given us. It is so good, it is so great, that it's going to be eternal. Eternal life. Yet, we don't share this greatest gift like we would about news of a new vitamin that helps us think better. We kind of sit on this news. Now, you're going to laugh at this, but I was watching It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, last night. And Linus says, there are three things I've learned never to discuss: religion, politics, and the Great Pumpkin. This was just after Lucy threatened to pound him for his Great Pumpkin letter. But back up a little bit. He said religion. Religion. Charles Schulz was a Christian. And his character, Linus, is the one that gives that great speech about what Christmas is all about in A Charlie Brown Christmas. Very concise thing about the birth of the Savior. I love that part. So why don't we share this great gift? Well, in our sin, in our selfish nature, that is sin. The joy of God's salvation, salvation that comes to us through Christ's suffering and death and resurrection, so that we may be forgiven by God. God keeps his own law. God frees us from sin, death, and damnation, and gives to us eternal life, forgiveness, and joy gets lost, it seems, in all the other stuff in our life. Or maybe we develop this kind of thinking. We don't think about, God, what have you done? But, God, what have you done for me lately that I can go out and tell someone about? Or maybe even not, what, God, what have you done for me lately about, but more, God, what will you do if I do this? And all of that is our selfish nature taking a hold of us, our hearts and our minds, and turning it away from, and I think even blinding us to, that greatest gift of all that God has given us. In any case, whatever the reason, it takes away the joy of God's salvation. One that should have us jumping up and down, hooting, hollering, yeah, even in a Lutheran church, about what God has given us. What we need is we need to have our hearts cleaned out of all the junk that sometimes we put there. Our spirits once again put right. We come with this sin to God. Now, He's the one that's already given us the greatest gift, yet we come with this sin of ignoring that gift, of being quiet about that gift, of even forgetting about that gift, and we lay this before Him. And in doing so, we lay ourselves bare before God. There's no other way we can come before Him. There's nothing we can do to hide any part of ourselves from Him. He sees right through us. But as we lay our sin before Him, as we ask Him for forgiveness, as we ask Him to change us, once again, God forgives. Just as He has forgiven, just as we stand always forgiven, we hear again that He forgives us for the sake of that treasure that is Jesus Christ and His cross. And He goes further to renew us, to clean out our hearts, to put our spirits back right, to know the joy of salvation, the greatest treasure of all. I want you to think about that today as you come forward to receive Christ. Now, this is not, as some would say, you know, receive Him into your heart and believe in Him. We already believe as Christians, but you will literally receive Him into your body through the bread and wine, which is the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion. And why do we come for Holy Communion? Why do we desire that body and blood of Christ with the bread and wine? For the forgiveness of our sins. Even the forgiveness of forgetting the treasure. Now, with who can we tell, or with whom? Whom? With whom can we share this treasure that and tell this treasure? Well, every single person can share in it. That's what I was telling the kids. Everyone can. God has no desire, takes no pleasure in people dying apart from Him and being lost from Him for eternity. God's desire is that everyone know Him. Everyone hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone receive that gift. We are to witness for Jesus to everyone, everywhere. We are to witness about and witness for. And I'll talk about what that difference is in a second. We witness about what God has done for us in Christ and what difference that makes for us now and for eternity in our lives. And that means the cross. Yes, we can talk about prayers answered. Yes, I am in remission from my cancer. And as wonderful as that gift is from God, even greater is that God took away my damnation and my condemnation and my sin and died and rose for me and has given me eternal life. That's even greater. That is what we share with others. We live every moment in this peace and in this joy that God gives with his salvation and love. Who would we possibly even want to exclude? Is there someone that our heart has been so corrupted and polluted by hate that we would want to exclude? Someone who we've allowed to pull our spirit so out of whack that we would want to exclude? A family member, a friend, a stranger, even enemies, scoffers, especially unbelievers? No, there is no one. We just ask for a clean heart and a right spirit so that we may share this endless treasure with everyone like God wants. That is, we witness to. Now, what is witness for? God has chosen to reach out to others with his salvation through you and me. This is how he says he is going to do it, to reach out through his people that know his salvation to people who do not know his salvation, to reinforce the faith of those who do know his salvation by speaking with other Christians. God has chosen us to be the bearers of the good news. He redeems us. He renews our spirit. He creates a clean heart. He gives us joy and peace and salvation. And then he allows us to share that with all others and do so undiminished in ourselves. Now you can say, well, can't God do it another way? Well, yeah, he can, if you say, you know, God can do anything, but the way we know he's chosen, the way he says he's going to do this, is through you and me. Somebody said, well, what about that lost tribe that nobody's ever found? What about that, Pastor? I said, well, you better get going. They need to hear it too. They need to know of that salvation. God has not left us without help. God gave his Holy Spirit, God himself, to his people. First, that we may have that relationship with him. He starts it. That we may know the joy, the truth of the gospel. That we may share the story, to have courage, to have the words to speak that we have learned from Scripture well up within us when we need to speak, when we witness. Sometimes we act as if God has given us an impossible mission, an impossible task, and then left us powerless to do anything about it. But God always backs his mission with his power. Where did martyrs in the Christian church get the ability to keep talking and witnessing about Christ until they died? Where did Luther get the courage and the ability to stand before the Holy Roman Emperor with his life and the life of all of those who agreed with him hanging in the balance and say, here I stand on the gospel, I can't do otherwise? Where does the ability to stand against scoffing family, friends, neighbors, unbelievers, and to continue to want to share this joy with them and to do so in a way that is effective, to continue to have a desire for relationship with them as well as our God? God gave us his Spirit. We call that day Pentecost, but you see it again and again in the New Testament. as the Holy Spirit came on people and they said, I must tell people about Jesus Christ. I can't keep this to myself. Everyone needs to know. They need to know because it is the greatest. But they also need to know for their sake, for their very own sake. You look back at the Old Testament reading today. Now, if I stood up here and just spoke to you like that out of Amos, woe to you who come here on Sunday. Why would you come here on Sunday? This is not a day of light, it's a day of darkness. It's just like a bad day when somebody's running from a lion and right into the claws of a bear, or run into their house to think they are safe and get bitten by a poisonous, you know, on and on he goes. He really blasts the people. But he gets down to the end, he says, this is what he's looking for. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. You see, the people in Amos' day had turned their faith into something that was private that they did inside the temple. And God said, no. I don't want any of that you're doing inside. I want you to go outside and tell people this great gift you are given. And he tells us that too. And maybe we need, as we come before the altar today in Holy Communion, to lay the sin before him of keeping silent, of not sharing, of letting people pass by us and away from us, and never having told, never having shared the Christian lifestyle of relationship, of witness, and of gospel. If you're like me, you're going to lay that at the altar as Christ comes to forgive your sin with his body and his blood. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life which is everlasting.